Okay, today we plan to go through Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Now, I love hearing about significant prayers, prayers that are like really profound and really impacting. There was an Oklahoma school teacher. There was a tornado quite a while back, a number of years back, and as the tornado was approaching, she gathered her students, and in her own words, she said, "I did what a teacher should not do. I prayed." And she said, "God, please take care of these kids." So she was pleading for the lives of her kids because it was a hugely serious tornado. So I love it. It was a significant prayer. She was praying for the lives of the students. And much to the chagrin of the ACLU, she was not supposed to do this kind of thing. But she said, "Man, they needed help. And I prayed. I prayed for help." So I just applaud that kind of guts. Now in today's passage, Paul prays a significant prayer. He's praying specifically for the Colossians, the folks in Colossae, which is modern-day Turkey. It is a city there in western Turkey. And he is praying a very profound prayer, and it's a helpful prayer for us as far as teaching us how to pray for others, but also the kinds of things that God deems important in our lives. So what he's praying for the folks in Colossians, in Colossae, those are things that each one of us, may God be developing these things in us or continuing to develop these things in us. So background, Paul is so thankful for the church in Colossae. He is really geeked. He's really excited. Their faith, their love, their hope, he's very, very excited about what's happening there as far as how they've responded to the good news of Christ and how they're growing in him. And so he's encouraged and he's praying actually in this way, or he desires to pray in this way, as far as very much encourages him. So Paul, based on what he has heard, he is constantly praying for the folks in Colossae, constantly praying for them. In this passage, we're going to see what he specifically is praying for. And again, may it deepen our walks, our prayer walks, and may it also give us a renewed understanding or a fresh understanding of what matters to God, the kinds of things that matter to him. So please stand for the reading of the word. We'll actually pray and ask for wisdom, insight, and clarity, and then we'll read this passage. Father, I thank you for this book of the Bible. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It is so refreshing, and it's so enlightening, and I pray that you'd teach us and that you would help us to understand it, and Lord, help us to come away changed, not by our own strength and not by our own willpower, but by your work in our lives. We freshly surrender to you, and I pray that you'd lead us during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Awesome. Please be seated. Awesome, awesome passage. Packs a punch. For four verses, it packs a punch. And it's all about Paul's prayers, or his prayer/prayers for the folks in Colossae. So in verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." So since Paul and Timothy have heard about what God is doing in Colossae, and about their faith, and about their love, and about their hope, they've been constantly praying. And there are four prayer requests that I encourage you to consider as far as consider taking a look at in these four verses. And so there's four prayer requests that we will be highlighting. And request number one, for the knowledge of his will. For the knowledge of his will. The rest of verse 9, "to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So what a beautiful, beautiful verse. Now there's "to ask that you may be filled." To be that whole term, and specifically "be filled," that means to cram, to furnish, to complete, and to perfect. All of that and more, as far as whenever you have English meanings of Greek words, it's very full, as far as there's usually multiple words to describe it, different angles of the chandelier. So be filled, be crammed, to furnish, to complete, and to perfect. It's like, how does cramming and furnishing tie together? Well, it does. If you have a room, let's say, in a house you just built, or let's say they just moved into a setting, and so there was no furniture actually in each room, and so it needed to be furnished. It needed to be filled with furniture. And in some ways, that's the same kind of aspect of filling here. The idea of cramming, we use the term cram as like, oh, I crammed for this test. And I may have done well, or may have not done well. I crammed for it, though. But often when we use the term cram, it's a sense of panic and a sense of, man, I just barely made it. There's not that sense here. It's a peaceful kind of filling to cram, and you're filling up yourselves with the knowledge of God. And so that you may be filled. So to cram, to furnish, to complete, to perfect. It's just God's will as far as that we be filled with the knowledge of God. And it says, with the knowledge of God. So this is not with secret knowledge. Paul is addressing what's called a pre-Gnostic kind of heresy or false teaching, where there's sort of secret knowledge to help us either get saved or help us grow as a Christian. And so this pre-Gnostic teaching, he said, no way, Jose, there's not a secret knowledge behind the scenes, not these secret Greek-related mysteries or anything like that. It's a knowledge of his will. We may be filled with a knowledge of his will. And so in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so heavenly wisdom, not worldly wisdom, not earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom. And, this kind of thing, as far as praying for the knowledge of his will, this can help us make good decisions. As I'm filled with the knowledge of his will, it helps me make better decisions. It's like, Lord, I want to do what pleases you. What kinds of things do you want to see? And how can I make decisions that best align myself with what's important to you and with what my knowledge is of your will and your intent and your desire for things and for me? So it helps us with decision making, but also so much more. It's so much more than what house do I buy or what job do I take or, all the other important decisions, which are very important, but there are sort of deeper kinds of things as well. So this kind of being filled with the knowledge of his will for decision making, but so much more, becoming more Christ-like. And the whole idea of the knowledge of his will is like, boy, here's your perfection, your holiness, and here's where I'm at. And Lord, I need to be transformed and conformed to your image. And so this whole knowledge of his will helps in that whole area of, Lord, I need help in the area of patience. I need help in the area of peace, walking in peace. Or I need help in the area of walking in joy. I need help in the area of love, of loving other people unconditionally, etc., etc. So being filled with the knowledge of his will opens up the whole door as far as that whole idea of conformity with Christ and with who he is. We need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. With the knowledge of his will. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we're not to be conformed to this world. The world wants to conform us, wants to mold us into its image and what it thinks is important. That's what it wants us to deem important as well. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we're to be transformed. And it's a work of the Lord in our lives and the Word of God in our lives, renewing us as far as renewing our minds. And then we can prove and sort of test and understand and experience the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So what are you being filled with? What are each one of us being filled with as far as are we being filled with the things of this world, the pleasures of this world? And some of the pleasures in this world aren't necessarily sinful at all. They can be very good. But what are we being filled with? Or are we being filled with the knowledge of God, knowledge from above? So we have earthly knowledge, earthly pleasures, or knowledge from above. Let's be filled with knowledge from above as far as first and foremost. So four prayer requests that Paul is making on behalf of the Colossians. The first one is knowledge of his will. The second one, for a worthy walk. Request number two, for a worthy walk. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So just looking at that whole verse and just sort of abiding there, It says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So that means appropriately, of a godly sort, doing what is fitting, doing what is appropriate. If someone, for example, is a Miss America, they've been voted in to be Miss America, it's not fitting for them to get slobbering drunk and to be passed around guy to guy. It's just not fitting. You're a Miss America. You don't do that kind of thing. Now, some people probably do, but you shouldn't do that kind of thing. It's not fitting. Or if you're an ambassador of this country, you know, you shouldn't be smoking pot on the side, and you shouldn't be doing other kinds of things that are illegal or that are questionable. So there's a whole area of being fitting as far as walking worthy of the Lord. And it says fully pleasing him. So the whole idea of fully pleasing him, that means making God smile. That's basically what it comes down to. We're making him smile. We're not earning favor from him, but we are making him smile. And there's really something very special about that, walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, making him smile. Our kids, when they would do certain things, they were young, they were learning how to talk or learning how to walk and just the neat kinds of basics in life. And yet they would take steps forward, and we were very pleased. It made us very much smile on the inside. It's like, this is awesome. Or when they'd be tempted to not tell the truth, and yet they would choose to tell the truth. It's like, that is pleasing. That is awesome as far as to us. So that you may walk worthy, Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful. The idea of being fruitful is to be fertile and to bring forth fruit. To bring forth fruit, so godly fruit, in every good work. So works not to earn favor and not to earn anything, but works to bring God glory. That's the whole idea of grace. We don't work in order to earn anything from God. He's already given us full forgiveness, a relationship with him. We're sons and daughters of the living God if we know the Lord, if we've received Jesus Christ into our lives. So we don't work to earn anything. We work to bring him glory. That's basically what we do. And so it says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So recognition, full discernment of God and the knowledge of God. So again, not hidden mysteries, not this pre-Gnosticism stuff, but just the knowledge of God and who he is. It's relational. We know him personally. So let's walk worthy. Let's make God smile. That's what this verse 10, the second prayer request, is all about. So when we face trials, let's walk worthy of the Lord. Let's walk worthy. Let's be faithful. Let's fully trust him, even in the midst of our trials. Even when we don't understand what's going on, let's be fully just walking worthy of the Lord. Or when we experience successes, things are going great. It's very tempting to forget the Lord during that time, or to take credit for the good successes that are taking place. But if we walk worthy, we're walking humbly and saying, Lord, this is all you. You're the one who's given me success in such and such an area. It's not my this or my that. It's all about you, Lord, in my life. Or the failures we go through. Let's say we fail. Well, let's walk worthy of the Lord in the midst of our failures. In other words, that means to humble our hearts, to confess the things we've done wrong, and to repent, to turn from those things. That's walking worthy of the Lord. So he'll make sure that we have different times where we stumble and we learn how to get up again. He's not the author of any sin in us, but he, in this fallen world, we're going to experience things where we do things and we're successful, and we do things when we fail, or we do things that are very wrong. And how do we handle that when the Holy Spirit sort of knocks on the door of our heart and says, This is grieving me. This is wrong as far as what you're doing. You're insisting on some aspect of life that's not God's will for you, or it's not his timing for you. So let's walk worthy of the Lord as we face trials, successes, failures, decision points, the decisions we make. Let's walk worthy of the Lord. It's like, Lord, what decision here will bring you the most glory? Can I appear before you at the end and just say, Lord, this is what I did with the decisions, with the crossroads that were presented to me. This is what I did. He knows exactly what we did, but we report in. And are we fully We have a fully clear conscience. It's like, okay, I made those decisions and this is what I chose to do. Lord, for your glory, this is why I did it. And if that's our heart, that is an awesome thing. So let's walk worthy of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Peter says this about believers, that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're royalty, and yet you're a royal priesthood. You're pure and you're holy. That's who God has made you. A holy nation, his own special people. You may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And of course, there's aspects of the Jewish people. They were the holy nation of God. But then there's application to Gentiles who've been grafted in. We become part of this. And so the Lord desires that we walk worthy. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That means let's walk that way. In other words, by his grace, by his enablement, let's do the things that are representative of our position as a chosen generation, as a royal priesthood. And so let's do things that are fitting for that or regarding that. So that means personal holiness in our lives. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So let's walk holy. If there's things that we're grasping a hold of that are not holy, let's set those things aside. Let's confess before the Lord and turn from them and say, Lord, I just want to bring you glory in my life. Holiness, that's what you're looking for. And this is all, it says, to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Again, it's all for God's glory. So holiness to bring him glory. Are you walking worthy? Are you making God smile? Each one of us, in areas where we're not making him smile, well, let's now make him smile by confessing that and by saying, Lord, I've been falling way short in the area of faith or in the area of purity or in the area of, again, any aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe there's an area that I've been convicted of, or each one of us have been convicted of. It's like, Lord, I want to walk in a way that represents you fully, that's fitting regarding our position, representing our position in you. So request number one was for a knowledge of his will. Request number two, for a worthy walk. That brings us to request number three, for strength. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. So Paul is now praying for strength for the Colossians. He says, strengthened with all might. And the word there for might is dunamou or mo'o. And it's where we get dynamite. It's that dunamis power and that inner strength that we have. And that's power from God. That's his enablement that he gives us. God gives us wonderful power. The Christian walk opens the door for this amazing relationship with God the Father through God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit enabling us and indwelling us. And we have power available to us to say no to temptation and to walk in a way that pleases him and to do the things that require incredible faith to do. Do we always walk perfectly? No, but we learn how to repent, how to get up again, and how to say, Lord, I've been messing things up, but Lord, I get up by your strength. Forgive me. I get up again. Give me power even to get up again. And I'll tell you, it makes God smile when we get up again after we've stumbled. So strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. So his power, not our own power. The humanistic movement would say it's all based on tapping into the inner you and the inner power within you. And it's like, what inner power within me? There's a natural power that God has given us as far as creation, but without the indwelling Holy Spirit, we really don't have that much. We have some basic natural willpower, so we're not all totally going nuts all the time. But it's the power to live a holy life. It requires power from on high, godly power. So strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. For all patience, patience is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Hanging in there when there's a very unpleasant set of circumstances. Cheerful endurance. And long-suffering, that's forbearance. Again, bearing up under. And it says, with joy. That's joy from God. Supernatural joy. When we go through tough times, an inner joy is something that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace. It's what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives as we're really remaining connected to Him. So this kind of strength to respond to difficulties with His dynamite strength, dunamis or dunamou strength, and to be able to have long-suffering patience and long-suffering with joy. With joy. Paul and Silas in prison, great example of that. There they were in prison, the inner prison, and the stocks they were in as far as the Roman, the chains and the blocks and the different kinds of things that were limiting their freedom. And there they were, late hours, and instead of feeling sorry for themselves, and instead of saying, oh, woe is me, after all I've done, I'm an apostle, I can't believe this, I've been so faithful. Instead, it's like they're just singing praises. They were deemed worthy of suffering for Christ. And that is awesome, that they were deemed worthy of suffering for Christ. And so they were singing. They were praising God in the innermost prison. And that was a special thing to see that. So Paul and Silas in prison, great example of that kind of inner dynamite power causing them to walk with patience, long-suffering, and with joy. Dynamite power gets us through hard times. In fact, hard times showcase God's dynamite power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This was Paul as he was asking for that thorn in his flesh or in his side to be removed. Doesn't say what it is. He talks about a messenger of Satan. There have been various theories as to what was going on, spiritual, maybe a physical aspect, and there's various theories regarding that. But it was something very unpleasant to him, and he said, please take it away. Take this thorn in my flesh away. And God said no. And he asked three times, and God said no each time. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so when we're going through a totally heart-wrenching, very difficult time, it's an opportunity for us to say, Lord, please deliver me from this. But even if you don't, give me grace. Your grace is sufficient for me to get through whatever you've deemed that you want me to go through or are allowing me to go through. And your strength, God, is made perfect in my weakness. So as I go through tough times, I realize how weak I am. Lord, I need your strength to get through this. And then he gives his strength to us, his dunamis power. And God is glorified from that. So request number one was knowledge of his will. Request number two, for a worthy walk. Request number three, for strength. Is there some area in your life where it's like, man, I really need strength. I need patience. I need long-suffering. I need to walk with joy. I'd encourage you to be receiving this kind of strength from God. Have other people pray for you for this kind of strength from God. Pray for others that they experience this kind of strength from God. It's a very awesome thing, and it very much gives God a lot of glory. So the four requests so far, or the three requests so far, the knowledge of his will, a worthy walk for strength, and lastly, request number four for thanksgiving, or thankfulness, actually, is the word we had in for the bulletin. For thankfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So giving thanks, that's being grateful to the Father, that's to God. We're ultimately thankful to him who has qualified us. He's made us able. He's accepted us. We should have been disqualified, but he has qualified us. What has he qualified us for? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So partakers are sharers, participants of the inheritance, the portion of the saints in the light. So believers, they have a position, or they're in a position of light, and they are called to shine. Those who shine. So are you shining? Are you shining? Are you giving thanks to God no matter what you're going through? Thanks to God. He is giving you breath. He is giving you food. He is giving you grace, actually. We may not see it all the time. He gives us grace to go through whatever life has dished us. So this whole area of giving thanks, to give thanks is a decision. We can give thanks or we can complain. We can choose to complain or we can choose to give thanks. And it's not always easy. Joy in trials requires God's supernatural grace. It requires his power, his dunamis kind of power in our lives. And it's not a phony thing to give thanks, even when we don't feel like giving thanks. When kids receive something good from, let's say, a relative or a present or whatever from a relative, or something has been done for them, which is really awesome, they're to say thank you. And even if they don't feel like giving thanks, they're to say thank you. It's a good thing. It's good manners, and it's just a good thing to do. How much more thanking God for all his wonderful, the things he has done, is doing, and will do. So it's not phony at all, as long as we focus in on the right thing. In the midst of a tough time, we can say, thank you, Lord God, for bringing me into a relationship with you. And no matter what is going on circumstantially, I cling to you. Thank you that you're clingable, that you're there for me. And Lord, I know you're going to get me through this. I can thank you because I know you're going to get me through this. This is not the last chapter, what I'm going through. The last chapter has not been written yet. So I am clinging to you, and I am trusting in you to get me through. And we can thank him in sincerity as long as our focus is on the right thing. And Lord, even this tough time I'm going through, it's an opportunity for you to show yourself strong. I need your help. I need you to get me through this thing or get me out of this thing. And that kind of heart and that kind of maturity of giving thanks in all things speaks volumes to others, volumes to those around us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything. Mountaintop experiences, valley experiences, times of sorrow, times of joy. Give thanks in all things. God can use everything for his purposes. He can use everything and anything for his purposes. Does that mean everything that happens is something he desires or something he wants? No. When someone sins terribly, it's not something he smiles upon. It's not something he wants. But he allows in our lives the sins of others to affect us, our own sins to catch up to us, and he allows all that to take place. He has his purposes, and they're always good purposes. So Paul prays four prayers here. One is for the knowledge of his will, to be filled with that. So let's pray for others to be filled with the knowledge of his will, and for ourselves to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Lord, fill me. Fill me, cram me full of the knowledge of your will. He also prays for a worthy walk, making God smile. Lord, I want to make you smile. I don't want to do things that you like, that don't make you smile. I want to do things that really please you. Not trying to earn anything from you. I'm your son or daughter no matter what. But I want to bring you glory in my life, and I want to please you. So for a worthy walk, a walk that's fitting for our position, chosen, holy. Then he prays for strength, that internal dynamite from God, to be able to bear up under whatever we're going through. And then lastly, he prays for thankfulness, choosing to be thankful in all things focusing on all that God has given, is giving, and will give. He's promised to give us a number of things like new bodies and other things in the future. So incredible, profound underlying strength and underlying sort of thankfulness. These are the kinds of things Paul is praying for in the lives of the Colossians. It's the kind of things that the Lord would be pleased by as we pray for these kinds of things in the lives of others, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and others we know. And it's the kinds of things that as God develops these in our lives, it pleases him very much. So it's something he really wants in our lives. He's looking to conform us to the image of his son Jesus, and that's not easy. They say a diamond is not done. It doesn't just sort of come on its own. It's pressure, intense pressure upon carbon. Carbon and pressure, and then you can get potentially a diamond out of that. And so the pressures in our lives, God's creating diamonds. There's a song on that now. And he's creating diamonds. And it's a long process. It's a slow process. Sometimes it's a painful process. But God is orchestrating all of it, and he has good things in mind. And he is taking care of us in the midst of it. And we're going to come out of this thing shining. So in the midst of it, let's say, Lord, you be Lord of this whole thing. I want to walk with you. I want to shine brighter and brighter to bring you more and more glory. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. And I do pray that you would cause these things, these truths, these prayers to really impact us. Lord, teach us how to pray with depth regarding the lives of others, our loved ones. And teach us how to incorporate these kinds of things into our prayer lives. And I pray that you would work these things into our lives as well. Lord, that you would help us to receive your strength and to walk in the wonderful things you have for us and to really know your will. And Lord, to walk with thanksgiving and to walk in a way that's fitting. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you that the biggest thing we can do is just surrender, to continue to surrender. I thank you, Lord. As we prepare for communion, I pray that you'd prepare us and our hearts. And we just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.